Good afternoon. It's 12:07. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Midday Matters Health 360 on 89.1 FM. We're glad to have you with us on this June 26th, a lovely summer day across northeastern Indiana. Today's program, we're talking about your skin, and particularly since it's the summer season, and usually, anyway, high time for a little bit of fun in the sun, how to protect yourself from getting too many rays, what are the dangers of, well, when you do catch too many rays. With us in studio, Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology and Windy Rivers Skin Care Center. Doctor, thank you very much for being with us on Midday Matters.
Well, thank you for having me.
I know you've been on the program before, and I hope our listeners will feel comfortable enough to ask away if they have questions or comments today. Please do call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Doctor, let's kind of start with some of the basics here. And I think especially when we get in, you know, to the spring and summer seasons, you know, people are ready to get outside. You know, we've been cooped up all winter. Maybe it was a cool spring where we're just ready to get out. It doesn't seem like people always think about that very important organ on the outside of your body here. It seems like maybe they don't pay as much attention to protecting their skin as maybe they should when they get out.
I think you're right. Nowadays, there's more information about protecting our skin from the sun. But still, we're getting out in the summer. We're ready to be outside. It feels good. The plant's growing. We're loving the warmth of the sun. We have to remember that the sun also can cause cancer. And not only that, but make our skin look poor. It could give us wrinkles and give us splotchiness. And we can protect that very simply with just an application of sunscreen.
And I want to talk a little bit more about protection and of course, some of the dangers as the program goes on here. I'm sure folks have other questions about that as well. But the sun can also be, well, it can be good for you. Of course, you know, it can improve your mood. It's just, it's fun to be outside when it's nice. But it also does have a little benefit for your skin, or am I mistaken there?
I think you're mistaken more than anything. We enjoy it. It is fun. It makes us feel good. It gives us a good mood. But the danger comes in the ultraviolet radiation that the sun is showering down on us. We need to remember that is a cancer-causing form of radiation. A little sun is fine, but too much will really go a long way throughout the rest of your life.
What about folks who have heard that it's a great way to absorb, let's say, vitamin D, to get your daily dose of vitamin D, just by being outside?
It's correct that the light is used to make vitamin D in our skin. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't take very long for our body to create enough vitamin D to last the day. Plus, it's safer just to drink a glass of milk or take a supplement. We get more than enough in a normal diet to reach our daily recommended dose.
So it's probably not the best to go outside for your daily vitamins.
No, I think it's
strictly your daily vitamins.
Yeah, it's a poor excuse, and I think that's used a lot with the argument of people who don't believe that the sun is dangerous or that tanning is dangerous. And it's not scientifically it hasn't really held out.
We do want to hear from our listeners today. Of course, the number is 800-471-9264. You can also get a hold of us digitally. And we are talking about the interaction between the skin, your skin, and the sun on this edition of Midday Matters. Let's get back to the little bit of the physics of this briefly. You mentioned UV radiation. It obviously is ultraviolet radiation. We hear, you know, through advertising, through stories and elsewhere, UVA and UVB delineated when we receive radiation on the skin. Is there a difference in danger between those two as far as you know?
Yeah, the two types of UV radiation, UVA and UVB, do different things to our skin. The UVB tends to be what causes the sunburn. And UVB will also lead to two types of skin cancer called basal cell skin cancer and squamous cell skin cancer. Those two are the most common cancers that we see. I will see numerous basal cell cancers every day in my office.
Wow.
UVA goes deeper into the skin. It penetrates farther in the skin, and it works directly on the DNA. That's where you get our risk of melanoma cancer, and that's the dangerous cancer, and that's the cancer that kills one American every 61 minutes.
Wow. And we were talking a bit before the show got started here. And you've seen, dermatologists across the country have seen really a dramatic spike in the number of cancer cases you're seeing in your offices.
Absolutely. In general, 1 in 5 Americans is going to develop a form of skin cancer in their lifetime. The concern is melanoma. I was looking back at presentations that I've done about 8 years ago, the risk of a person getting melanoma in the United States was 1 in 79. It's now 1 in 51.
Wow.
So we really are seeing more and more melanoma cancers. And that's the scary cancer. That's the cancer we don't want to get. And it is almost completely treatable if you get it early and preventable by wearing sunscreen.
Why the spike?
Well, go outside and look at what people are wearing. Go to the pool. We don't have a lot of clothes on anymore. In addition to that, especially in the Midwest, we have this need to be tan. And so we spend way too much time. When we spend any time in a tanning bed is way too much time because that is directly linked to melanoma cancer. In fact, recently the World Health Organization compared tanning beds to smoking and found them to be equally as dangerous.
Well, let's talk about tanning beds a little bit here. Obviously we've seen a major growth in the use of extra tanning beyond the sun. Are they more dangerous, less dangerous, the same as just say a day at the beach to get tan that way?
Well, radiation's radiation. Any place you get it is dangerous. But what people tend to do is they put themselves in a box where they're going to get excessively high doses of radiation over a short period of time. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it is more dangerous. But it's just as dangerous to be outside laying out all day at the beach trying to get tan.
I want to, of course, let our listeners know that we are, this is Midday Matters Health 360, I should say, and you can get in touch with us with your questions about your skin. We're talking, of course, with Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen. Call us, 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We were joking before the show got started here that, of course, we're talking about your skin and the sun on a day like today when we're getting rain across the area. But you don't necessarily need direct sunlight to have your skin affected by that radiation, as I understand.
Well, you're correct. People comment to me that they don't wear their sunscreen because it's cloudy out or it's in the wintertime. And my comment is always, well, the sun's still shining. Mm-hmm. Ultraviolet radiation will come through clouds. It shines in the wintertime. So it's something we should be aware of and be protecting ourselves every day. In addition, sun coming through windows, even the car windows, you can get some. So you'll see a lot of people who are driving for their occupation will have a significant difference in the sun damage on the left side of their face versus the right side of their face.
Wow. It's simply because the sun's shining through their driver's side window.
That's correct.
That's pretty amazing. Let's talk a little bit. I know we will get deeper into a lot of these points as we go on here, but let's talk a little bit about some basic protections. Of course, we hear often that, you know, if you're going to be outside, no matter what, it's a good idea to wear sunscreen. Tell us, I mean, how important, how much protection can sunscreen really give you?
Sunscreen can give you a tremendous amount of protection. Just this year, the FDA made some new guidelines for our sunscreens. So what we're going to see is, what you're going to look for is a sunscreen that says broad spectrum. And that is a sunscreen that covers or protects for both UVA and UVB. I recommend a sunscreen of 30 on an average use, higher if you're going to be out and about or at the pool. We won't find any sunscreens more than 50 anymore. It'll say 50 plus. And the reason for that is there's a very small percentage of improvement once you get over 15. In a one-day setting, that difference probably is insignificant. But if you take that over 30, 40, 50, 60 years, it really adds up. So at least a 30 and reapply.
At least a 30 SPF.
Correct. And the other thing that's changed is you're not going to see water resistant or waterproof anymore. They're going to have a rating as to how long the sunscreen works in water. And it'll be 40 minutes or 80 minutes and based on a test in a whirlpool. Mm-hmm. So you look for the 80-minute water resistance or water time. And that also means you have to reapply. And I recommend reapplying every 2 hours.
Let's maybe go back to basics here, even on this issue. We know that sunscreen, you know, keeps us hopefully from getting sunburned. It hopefully keeps us from developing some of the cancers you mentioned over time. What does it actually do, though?
What does the sunscreen do? Well, there are two different types of sunscreens. There are chemical sunscreens, which actually absorb the ultraviolet radiation into the chemical itself. And it does not allow that sunscreen or that radiation to penetrate into the skin. There are also physical blockers, which form a protective coating over the skin and reflect the ultraviolet radiation back.
So it's potentially a multi-level protection, right?
Correct.
We do need to take a quick break here. We are talking about your skin, and particularly in relation to the sun, with Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology and Windy Rivers Skin Care Center. We hope to hear from you, your questions, your comments, your concerns. Call us 800-471-9264. You can always email us middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We hope to hear from you this hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, why the Lyme disease infection rate is growing, and so is the battle over how to treat it. We talk with Michael Spector about his article, The Lyme Wars, in the current edition of The New Yorker. He'll also tell us what's recommended if you find a tick on your body or your child's that might be carrying Lyme. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
It's the political junkies' last hurrah, and there's plenty to talk about. Actual votes in Massachusetts, volleys over immigration on the Hill, and Supreme Court decisions. Plus, Anna Greenberg and Vin Weber join us to look ahead to 2014 and 2016. I'm Neil Conan, the ultimate round with political junkie Ken Rudin, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News, this afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Voting rights, affirmative action, same-sex marriage, workplace discrimination. It's a big week at the U.S. Supreme Court. Join Linda Wertheimer, along with NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg, for a recap and in-depth analysis of all the major rulings. It's special programming from NPR News.
Tonight at 8 on 89.1 WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Cameron Memorial Community Hospital, providing health and wellness services in the spirit of charity, concern, and excellence, serving Steuben County and surrounding areas. Information at CameronMCH.com.
It's 12:21. This is Midday Matters Health 360 on 89.1 WBOI, your home for NPR news and diverse music. I'm Sean Beter, and we're talking today about your skin, particularly the way the sun interplays with your skin. With us in studio, our expert, Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology and Windy Rivers Skin Care Center. If you have any questions about how to protect yourself from the sun, any questions about a diagnosis or anything else, really, we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 800-471-9264. 9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We'd love to hear from you this hour. Dr. Sassmanshausen, we were talking before the break about how to protect yourself from UV rays. We got through some of the kind of the very basic protection, sunscreen. Of course, if you wear, you know, an extra layer of clothing, that could certainly give you a hand as well, I would think. And but you, we were talking over the break, there are a lot of newer products, newer ways that folks can also protect their skin from sunlight.
That's correct. Within just sunscreens in general, you can get sunscreens now that are aerosolized that you can spray on. You have creams and gels, all of which are designed for different body types. The gels and sprays are nice if you tend to be a little bit hairier. the gels and sprays are nice for people who don't have as much hair on top of their head. With the scalp, definitely wearing hats is very important. But if you're going to swim, you're not going to wear the hat in the pool. So make sure you put sunscreen on top of the head. Aside from the sunscreens, there's sun protective clothing becoming more and more readily available. And you can get a variety of SPFs from 30 to 50 in the clothing. The wonderful thing about these clothing is that they're very light. And so even though it's winter or summer and you're wearing a long sleeve shirt or long pants, they breathe very well and they do not make you very hot. And so you don't feel bound up in the clothes.
That seems to me extraordinarily important because, I mean, well, half the reason we wear shorts and T-shirts or swimsuits in the summer is it's hot.
Correct. The other thing that I like are umbrellas. Keeping an umbrella in the car so when you're at the soccer game and you just pop the umbrella and that'll protect you as well. One of the new types of sunscreens that are out that I find very nice are powder-based sunscreens. The mineral makeups, which are very, very much out in the beauty stores, have taken the base of their makeup and created a clear powder that you would put on your face. And you can get an SPF of 30 or 40. And when you put that on, it actually stays on very long throughout the day. The one I use has a water rating of 40 minutes. So it'll even stay on for 40 minutes in water.
Wow. So folks, I mean, should consider that as safe as the traditional lotion-based
It's safe
screen?
As the traditional lotions. The other nice thing is when you sweat, it doesn't sweat down into your eyes. So you don't get the burning that people complain about with sunscreens. So the powders are a wonderful sort of a new approach to putting on your sunscreen.
We do have a caller on the line here, and if you'd like to get in touch with us, we certainly hope you will. There's still about a half hour left in the program. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We'd love to hear from you this hour. And let's open the phones here and go to CJ. CJ from Fort Wayne, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Good afternoon. I got a question for the doctor. I've got psoriasis, and I've heard that about the only good use for the sun is for treatment of psoriasis. Is this correct?
Not completely. Ultraviolet radiation absolutely can be used to treat psoriasis. There is a very narrow part of that ultraviolet radiation that actually makes psoriasis better. And you have a lot of wavelengths of that ultraviolet radiation that's causing you harm. So while you do get better, when you're out in the sun, you're also getting more dangerous rays. We use ultraviolet light in the office, but we use one wavelength of that light. It is most effective against psoriasis, and it carries a very low risk to your skin in the other forms of cancers.
Well, okay. I said I'd heard that, and I've tried about everything else.
So well, there's a lot of things out there for your psoriasis, and now for people with psoriasis, now's the time to be seen because there's wonderful drugs available.
Now, I know this is off topic, and if you don't want to answer it, that's fine because it is. But that, what is it, Humira? Is that the injectable?
Yes.
How safe is that?
It's one of the safest drugs that we use for psoriasis from a systemic standpoint.
Okay. Does that retard the immune system?
Yes, to a point, because your psoriasis is actually there because your immune system is very, very active. So it's an overactive immune system. So it's actually bringing that overactive immune system back down to normal. That's how I look at it.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for your time, gentlemen. I'm going to miss the show.
CJ, we appreciate the kind words and the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 800-471-9264, the number to call if you have a question or comment. Of course, we're talking about your skin, and particularly your skin in the summertime with Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology. We have several calls coming in here, along with a few messages on Facebook as well. Marla from Fort Wayne has a question about skin types here. Marla says, do African Americans need to use sunscreen as well, doctor?
That's a very good question. What I like to point out is the very first person I diagnosed a melanoma with in Fort Wayne when I started practice was in a very young African-American woman. Hmm. While it's not a cancer that we see often in African-Americans, they can still get melanoma cancer. Unfortunately, because frequently it's not something that is being looked for in a darker skin type, we don't find it as early as we would in someone who's fair-skinned.
So it's is it more difficult to diagnose sometimes in African-Americans, or is it it's just not being looked for by the patient initially?
I think that's it. It's not being looked for by the patient.
Hmm. We do have another message left with us. Marie from Fort Wayne asks, do they make a roll-on sunscreen for golfers and everyone else? Because the goop ruins your swing, man. That's directly from the caller.
The creams can be kind of unpleasant in some circumstances. That's where I think some of the aerosol sprays are nice, because mm-hmm. we can put it on very quickly and it dries right away. What I tell my golfers is you put it on before you tee off, and then you put it on again when you make the turn at the ninth hole. So
and hopefully wear a golf club so you don't lose the club.
That's right. And wear your hat.
That's exactly right. It looks like we have another caller here on the line. Let's go back to the phones if we can and get Brenda on the line. Brenda, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wondered, he had talked about different types of sunscreen, and mentioned a powder one, which I hadn't heard about, but I have one that has titanium and zinc in it, as opposed to one that doesn't have those two ingredients in it. Is there an advantage of that over the other, or vice versa?
In someone who has very sensitive skin, you will want to avoid some of the chemical sunscreens.
What's a chemical sunscreen? Is that the ones without titanium and zinc?
Well, the titanium and the zinc, those are the sunblocks. Those are inert agents that reflect the ultraviolet radiation off the skin.
Okay, but that's as opposed to the chemical ones.
Correct, and they both do well. I like to use just sunblocks in young children and infants. Mm-hmm. Because using some chemicals on young skin, we're not sure if we want to do that. But using a straight sunblock, perfectly fine.
And a straight sunblock is the titanium and the zinc.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Brenda, thanks very much for the call. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. It's half past noon, and we'd love it if you got in touch with us with your questions and comments this hour. We're talking about your skin in the summertime with Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology and Windy Rivers Skin Care Center. We do need to take a quick break in a few moments here. When we return, though, we'll have questions from Steve and from Elizabeth as well. Stay tuned through the news. Back in 4 minutes. It's Midday Matters.
The highest court in the nation rules on same-sex marriage.
It's actually relatively rare that the Supreme Court decides something of such monumental importance that your grandchildren will be thinking about them, and this is that kind of case.
We'll have reaction and analysis from around the country to today's decisions. That's later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. Gay marriage supporters in Indiana are celebrating a victory in Washington while girding for a possible battle at the statehouse. Indiana Equality Action President Chris Paulson said Wednesday he's uncertain whether state lawmakers will push a constitutional ban on gay marriage next session, but that supporters are ready for a fight. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down a federal law barring benefits for same-sex couples and effectively upheld gay marriage in California in separate rulings. But it was not immediately clear what effect the rulings would have throughout the states. Pence administration officials say they're optimistic thousands of Hoosiers will retain their health insurance in the Healthy Indiana Plan through an extension of the program by the federal government. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports.
The Healthy Indiana Plan, the state's health insurance program for low-income Hoosiers, currently serves 37,000 people with a waitlist of around 53,000. Indiana Family and Social Services Administration Secretary Deborah Minot says that lengthy waitlist is due in part to uncertainty over the program's future. If the federal government doesn't grant Indiana an extension, the state will begin dismantling the program in August, and those 37,000 Hoosiers will lose their insurance at the end of the year. But Minot says she believes Indiana will receive definitive approval for an extension of HIP sometime this summer. Still, she says her agency is developing contingency plans in case the federal government denies an extension.
We will also develop and undertake a communications plan to inform the members of the pending termination of the plan, and we will work with them to find available options for obtaining health care.
Minot says other health care options include community health centers and free clinics located around the state. New Albany Republican Representative Ed Clear says those contingency plans need more development.
I don't think we can assume that those programs can just absorb additional people. We need to know that the capacity is available.
And Clear says even if that capacity is available, pushing people towards community health centers and free clinics isn't necessarily the direction he thinks the state should go. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Purdue University economists say they expect Congress to pass another extension of the Farm Bill after a five-year version failed to pass last week. The proposed Farm Bill reduced funding for food stamps and changed farm subsidies from direct payments to support for crop insurance, but it failed in the House. Congress already passed a Farm Bill extension once last year, and Purdue agriculture economist Chris Hurt says another extension would not be the worst-case scenario.
Most producers would feel positive about that, agricultural farmers. Not all groups, but many would feel positive about that. They certainly were willing to talk about reform and talk about some changes, particularly in the direct payments.
But Indiana Farm Bureau spokesperson Megan Ritter says last year's drought reminded farmers the federal insurance system needs a facelift.
I think our hope is that there is genuine interest in passing a five-year farm bill, that farmers need the reassurance and the certainty that there is a safety net there and what that safety net looks like. It's really challenging to plan from year to year when we don't know exactly what is going to be in that safety net.
The farm bill is set to expire at the end of September. It looks like we're in for some wet weather for the rest of the day. More showers and thunderstorms are expected throughout the afternoon, and we'll have a high of 83. This evening, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mainly before midnight, and we'll have a low of 68. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOI, your home for NPR news and diverse music.
It's Midday Matters. The time is 12:35. This, of course, the Health 360 edition of our program. We appreciate you being with us over your noon hour. I'm Sean Beter, along with Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology, I should say, and Wendy Rivers Skin Care Center. And, of course, we are talking about your skin, particularly your skin in the summertime, the good, the bad, and, of course, how to protect yourself from catching too many rays. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Sassmanshausen, please do give us a call. Just about 25 minutes left in the program at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We'd love to hear from you this hour. We do have a few questions via Facebook and via email here on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Midday Matters. Elizabeth has a good question. Elizabeth says, I've heard chemical sunscreens can aid in melanoma cancer because its penetration also causes a change in DNA. Some research has even shown those chemicals have been found in the breast milk of appliers. Doctor, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I feel that the science out there looking at the chemical sunscreens has absolutely discounted those claims that really there's no increased risk of cancer from the chemical sunscreen at all. Hmm. The amount of chemical that would be needed to be applied to the skin to be found in breast milk would be a tremendous amount.
Really?
And so I don't think that's something we need to be concerned about with just daily application.
The science is pretty strong in that direction.
The really good studies looking at large numbers of people.
All right. Elizabeth, we appreciate your question here. We also had an email from Steve. Steve says, I work from my car, so I'm out in the sun all day. I did get my car windows tinted. This helps block harmful rays, doesn't it?
It would if the tinting you got has the ability to block UVA and UVB. Some tinting won't. They'll just make the sunlight darker. But if you got particular types of tinting with the UV protection, then yes, you would be protected.
But it's not all tinting. Making the windows darker doesn't necessarily block out those rays.
That's correct.
All right. Well, we have no questions in the hopper currently, so we hope you'll get in touch with us in the next 20 minutes if you have a question or comment. One more time, the number 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We've been talking so far in this conversation, I think, largely about sun and skin damage in the context of adults. But are there specific risks that parents should look out for in their children or teenagers should look out for in themselves when they're out in the sun or even maybe considering going to a tanning bed?
Well, when you look at our lifestyle, once you hit your 20s, mid-20s, we start to work, and most of our time is spent indoors. Mm-hmm. So majority of our sun exposure is acquired before the age of 20. Mm-hmm. Within that time, our skin is growing, it's young, it's healthy. We need to protect it more so. The cancers, the melanoma cancers that we see, we really see, our melanoma cancer is the top cancer in young women from 20 to 29. That's a cancer that's being caused by the sun that they had as a child. And we're seeing melanoma increasing in young people between ages 15 and 25. So we need to protect them when they're young. This is when they are most vulnerable. Hmm. Tanning beds, number one risk factor in causing melanoma cancer. And we really need to put some significant restrictions on tanning beds. One episode in a tanning bed will increase your melanoma risk by 20%.
20%?
20%. And if you are a regular user before the age of 35, it increases your melanoma risk by about 80 to 85% overall. So the young people that I see who have developed melanoma and we're treating for this severe type of cancer, majority of them were tanners when they were younger.
We're chatting just a bit over the news break here, and you've mentioned and you touched on this just a bit at the top of the program, but you said it's been a very busy summer in your office. A whole lot of folks, I think you used the word shocking, a number of folks coming in with melanoma.
Yeah, we've had quite a few. We keep a count for each year. Just it gives people who are coming into the office sort of a number that they can realize that it's a real problem. Mm. So far this year, we've had 42 people with melanoma.
Wow.
Now, last year, we had just 50 over the whole year. For halfway through the year with that many really is a surprise. The other thing that always gets to me is it tends to be a younger individual that we find this in. The earlier we find them, however, the more likely we can cure it. If we can find a melanoma right away when it's first started, it's a 99% cure rate. So getting in and being looked at, very important.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what folks should look for, because, you know, over time, you know, folks have freckles, they have moles, they have sunspots and or otherwise. What do folks need to be concerned about when they're looking at their skin at home, and what can they maybe, you know, leave to the side?
You know, I think we'll start with melanoma because it's the most severe mm-hmm. cancer. Melanoma will come from a mole, and we have the ABCDs of mole and melanoma, and A is asymmetry. So if you look at a mole and you can't fold it over and the sides match, that's a sign that we look for. Hmm. Borders, if the border is smooth and oval, love that. If it's scalloped or irregular, then that's a sign that we look for. Colors, I look for three or four colors or more within a mole. So you have a mole that has two colors, maybe three. That's one we may want to keep an eye on, but not one I'm going to get overly concerned with. Hmm. D is size, the diameter. That's becoming less of an issue. I like them when they're small, so the smaller, the better. E is evolution or an evolving mole. That's the most important thing. If you have a mole that's changing, and it's been changing for 2 or 3 months, really needs to be looked at. The other thing I look for is sort of the ugly duckling mole. If you look at your back and there's one spot that stands out as different, have someone look at that.
Hmm. In terms of, I want to go back to diameter. You mentioned that doesn't matter so much these
days.
Not
as much anymore. It used to be a size over 6 millimeters because I don't want someone to say, well, that's a 5 millimeter spot and it's got all these others. I'll wait until it's 6 millimeters. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather find a spot when it's very tiny and just starting out. So the size isn't as a concern to me.
Hmm. And in terms of that evolution that you mentioned, I just want to touch on that just a little bit more. I mean, what kind of evolution, what kind of changes are you looking for in that spot over the 2 to 3 months that you mentioned? I mean, is it a dramatic change or is it just, you know, I noticed that maybe a 1 millimeter, you know, move, something like that?
Typically, it's going to be a change that you notice. One tiny little enlargement of a mole, I don't think it's something we're going to see. But as you're watching it, you will notice changes in the color. You'll notice changes in the size. And the growth is usually in an irregular and asymmetric way. Classically, someone will come in and say, hey, this mole has caught my attention. This something is different about this mole.
We're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology, Windy Rivers Skin Care Center as well, about your skin and particularly about how the sun interacts with your skin. A lot of good questions coming in this hour so far. None at the ready. So if you give us a call with your question or comment, you'll get us right through. You'll get right through, I should say. It's 800-471-9264. You can always email us, of course, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet, of course, @middaymatters. We do need to take a quick break here. We'll continue the discussion when we return. Stay with us. Back in 2 minutes.
On the next Fresh Air, why the Lyme disease infection rate is growing, and so is the battle over how to treat it. We talk with Michael Spector about his article, The Lyme Wars, in the current edition of The New Yorker. He'll also tell us what's recommended if you find a tick on your body or your child's that might be carrying Lyme. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
On a day so many have waited for, the Supreme Court rules Wednesday on two of the term's biggest cases, Proposition 8, California's ban on same-sex marriages, and the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. I'm Neil Conan, how the High Court calls gay marriage. Plus, Mavis Staples joins us. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
The highest court in the nation rules on same-sex marriage.
It's actually relatively rare that the Supreme Court decides something of such monumental importance that your grandchildren will be thinking about them, and this is that kind of case.
We'll have reaction and analysis from around the country to today's decisions. That's later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
It's just about a quarter till 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. It's Wednesday, and of course that means it's the Health 360 edition of our program. We're talking about your skin and how the sun interacts with it, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please do call us at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. Or you can always send us a tweet as well. With us in studio, of course, Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology and Windy Rivers Skin Care Center. Dr. Sassmanshausen, we've had a lot of questions come in over the break here. A lot of folks very interested in what we're talking about today. Jim wants to know if you know the rate of melanoma now compared to the rate a very long time ago. Can you give us some historical perspective?
I sure can. Remember back in the 1850s, what people used to wear. If you look at pictures, you see men wearing multiple layers, long clothes, long pants. Women wore their dresses up to their chins.
And sometimes very, very thick clothing.
And very
as
thick
well.
Clothing as well, yes. At that point in 1850s, 1 in 1,500 people developed melanoma. And again, I said today, 1 in 51. So big difference. And that has everything to do with what we're wearing.
We have a couple of callers I want to get to in just a few moments here. We had another question come in here from CLK. CLK says, could you explain Mohs surgery and give your opinion about whether or not it's a good procedure?
Sure. Mohs surgery is a very specific way to remove skin cancers. Hmm. Not melanoma cancers, but squamous cell and basal cell cancers. And what it does is it takes a series of steps where you remove a small piece of skin and you look at the edges of the skin to see if there's any cancer remaining. Hmm. So what that does is allows you to follow out the cancer if it goes in one direction or if there's a root or a finger. It is an excellent procedure for specific areas of the face or types of cancers, if they're recurrent cancers or large cancers. You can get an almost 100% cure rate.
We appreciate the call very much, CLK, and Jim as well. We appreciate you getting in touch with us. We have several callers. We'll try to get to everybody here in the last 10 minutes of the program. Let's open the phones here and go to Mike. Mike from Churubusco, you're on the line. Good afternoon.
Yes, I hope I'm coming through. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
We have you loud and clear on this end. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for taking the call. I came down, I'm 63 years old and came down with eczema this year and was disappointed to see it advance so much. But what I found is that the parts of my body exposed to the sun are doing much better than the parts that aren't. And I was wondering what the doctor's comments on that would be.
Well, that's very similar to the question earlier on psoriasis. Ultraviolet radiation is used to decrease inflammation in the skin. The risks, however, to broad spectrum radiation that you would get in the sun far outweigh the benefits. So with eczema, I tend to like to use more local topical therapies to get you under control. And if we need to go to something like an ultraviolet light, we'll use a special type of light in the office.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mike, we appreciate the call. Have a great day. All right, bye-bye. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, the number to get in touch with us if you have a question or comment about your skin and the sun. We'd love to hear from you. It's 800-471-9264. Email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet as well. That's at Midday Matters. Let's move on down the phone lines. We have Cheryl from Ohio. Cheryl, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I have a concern about a problem I have on my foot. About maybe 10 years ago, I broke the little toe on my left foot, and usually so that my shoe doesn't rub, I'll have a Band-Aid on that area, and then at night I remove it. Well, at the end of February, I had the flu. I was sick. I had a fever and was sick and bad for a few days and left the Band-Aid on, and it became itchy. So I took it off, washed my foot, dried it thoroughly, and saw just a little red line between the toes, just about the size of the edge of your fingernail. And it was itchy, but I left it dry and thought it was all right. And then it started to form like a funny little scab thing. I was out of town for several weeks, and I thought probably it was a fungal infection from the dampness and having had the Band-Aid on my foot. I used over-the-counter antifungal product. I made it quite sore. It did remove a lot of skin. A lot of dead skin came off, and I thought it would heal over and be all right, but it didn't. And I saw my podiatrist then when I got back home and explained to him what I had done, and he had me soak my foot in Epsom salts for several weeks. And I came back to see him, and it looked better.
And Cheryl, I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but I know we have a lot of folks on the line. Did you have a question for Dr. Sassmannshausen?
The fact that it has looked better several times when I've seen the podiatrist, and now it doesn't look good at all. Last time I saw him, he tried to do a biopsy of it. It didn't get enough tissue for it to work, so now I see a dermatologist, but not till July 12th. It just keeps forming like a scab that peels off, and it's raw like a burn.
Yep, and when you were doing soaks, it did get better, though, didn't it?
It did get better.
Well, what I would do, because it takes a long time to get in to see a dermatologist, unfortunately.
Right.
But I actually agree with the soaks, and I would do that on a regular basis now until you see the dermatologist.
Okay, and he did say to towel dry and then put a small amount of antibiotic ointment on it.
I don't think I would do the antibiotic ointment. I would just let it dry.
Just do the soaks until I see the dermatologist?
Correct.
Okay, I'm just concerned that it's skin cancer, and
I don't think you should be concerned about that, because he did get a biopsy, and even though he didn't get enough tissue, there would have been enough tissue there to make one suspect cancer.
Right.
So I think you're okay on that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, we appreciate the call, and have a good day.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We have a few more callers to get to here. Like I mentioned earlier, we'll try to get to everybody. Of course, we're talking about your skin, and particularly how your skin interacts with the sun during, we were saying the summertime, Doctor, but really any time of year. let's open the phones back up here and see if we can go to Thomas from Fort Wayne. Thomas, good afternoon. You're on the program.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We have you just fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm a Caucasian male in my early 60s, and when I was a teenager, I got out there in the sun, and I think I even used baby oil to enhance the tanning. So things that I wouldn't do these days and most people wouldn't do, is there a way to repair or reverse any of that damage, or is there anything to do that one can do to improve your skin health?
Well, that's a good question. There are a number of different products that can be used to repair the skin. Unfortunately, it's difficult to use the products over your entire body. We tend to focus mainly on either the face or other sun-exposed areas. If we're seeing lots of precancerous change, there are medicines that we can prescribe which will reverse that or repair those areas, so that we don't have as many precancers or early skin cancers present. For the face, for everyday use, we use a lot of retinoids, which we can get in many products, antioxidants, and growth factors. Now, these are three types of ingredients that can help the body repair and improve and prevent future damage.
And are those non-prescription, or they are prescription drugs?
Those are non-prescription.
Okay.
All right. Well, Thomas, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you. Yep.
All right. Bye-bye. Just about 4 minutes left in the program here. I think we have one more caller we can get to. Let's open the phones one more time and go to, who do we have on the line? It's Renee. Renee, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, I am just driving through North Fort Wayne, and I live in South Georgia, so I spend every weekend at the beach in St. George Island, Florida.
Oh, lucky.
And we can tell Northerners just by a glance because they're out there with no umbrella, no hat, no sunscreen. But my question to the doctor is, I've been told that sunscreen needs to be applied at least 20 minutes before you go out in the sun. Is that true or not, or does it vary with the sunscreen?
Overall, that is true. For the chemical sunscreens, we really need to allow that chemical to even out and sort of absorb into the skin for it to be most effective. Now, the chemical the physical blockers, when you apply it, that physical blocking agent is there. A good habit, though, is to put it on as you're heading out or driving to the beach. That way, when you get there, you're ready to go.
Well, I can tell you that I have four dogs, and they know the smell of sunscreen, and so they are waiting at the back of the car to be loaded in so we can go to the beach.
That's fantastic. Well, we appreciate the call, Renee, and keep maybe if you want to publish a book, you know, How to Spot a Northerner, in the near future, we can. We'll have you on for a future interview.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the good information you guys have given. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Renee. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Doctor, we have just about 2 minutes left in the program here. One thing we didn't necessarily touch on fully here, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but folks who have certain skin conditions already, you know, we've heard from folks with eczema, folks with rosacea, things like that. Can going out into the sun for long periods of time aggravate these issues further, hurt the issue further?
Well, there are a number of skin conditions that can actually be worsened by the sun, and you mentioned rosacea. Many people who have autoimmune diseases, such as lupus, can be very, very sensitive and have severe burns. And in fact, some medicines that people take for everyday uses can make them more sensitive to the sun.
Such as?
Some antibiotics. Some people have issues with the Motrin and Aleve, that type of medicine. So you have to kind of really think about what you're doing and what you're going to be doing during your day. And again, it comes around to just being smart, putting on your sunscreen, and staying out of the sun.
Protect yourself. Well, unfortunately, we are all out of time for this edition of Midday Matters Health 360. Dr. Jeffrey Sassmanshausen from Three Rivers Dermatology and Windy Rivers Skin Care Center, thank you very much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Thanks, of course, to all of our listeners, everybody who phoned in and wrote in with your questions or comments. We appreciate you getting in touch with us. And, of course, this is the final edition of Midday Matters Health 360. We appreciate all of your support of this station and of this program, and look forward to serving you even better in the months to come. Thanks so much. I'm Sean Beter. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. It's WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester. Stay with us. Fresh Air with your host, Terry Gross, is up next. It's 1 o'clock. From WH.